Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Reality radio for a really great future. We're talking real money.
Bah, humbug. I believe we should ban all holidays. Sorry, I can't get in the Christmas spirit because people are so grumpy. For some reason, holidays make people, they're supposed to make people happy, but they make them grumpy. What is with that? You don't have a theory on this.
I'm going to say, yes, I agree with you. By the way, I brought my 14-year-old daughter home yesterday. She was grumpy. Now she has like four finals in the next few days. I talked to a woman today who looked at her returns for the last 5 years and said, I've only made X percent a year for the last 5 years. Yeah, that's what the market's provided. We can spend more time on that. I think people get too busy, they get too stressed, and they're not very appreciative of things that are going on around them. Let's put it that way.
I'm going to get lunch at Chick-fil-A. I make a left turn behind this truck. The truck turns the corner and it immediately stops. There was no one in front of him. There was no reason for him to stop. He just stopped. And he never moved. I had to go around him. Then I go get the thing. I come back. There's a UPS store. You park parallel alongside the UPS store. People decided there wasn't enough parking, so they turned it into diagonal parking.
No.
Sticking out into the road where you couldn't get by.
You couldn't get around.
Humbug.
I can see why.
Hi, everybody. I am Don McDonald, the epitome of Scrooge. I played Scrooge, and I am Scrooge. Unlike the people who say I played a doctor on television, but I am not really one, no. I played Scrooge on the stage, and I really am Scrooge. Over there is Tom. Tom has a much, much brighter perspective
about
Scrooge, the world.
You're Scrooge, I'm screwed. There's a difference.
Yeah, it's okay.
So, I'm okay with that, too, by the way.
Actually, he's Jacob Marley.
Oh, Scrooge was still, no, Marley was still dead. Yeah, that's right. I got the chains to prove it.
So. And all these many years. Yes. Yeah. So he's still dead. I'm still alive. Bah, humbug. And you're out there. Gosh, we're glad you're there. Today, the reason for the grumpy comment is because I think this may be from a regular correspondent of the show.
I think you may be right.
I think so. It's just the tone. I haven't looked back. I'm sorry. I didn't do my research. But anyway, we got one of those. You guys are a bunch. Nope. Sorry. Shouldn't say you guys. Don, you're an idiot.
That he did actually single you out.
Don, you're an idiot.
Maybe that's why I'm feeling better, because I'm picking on you and not on me.
So today I am going to rely on Jacob Marley to defend me. A dead
Marley
guy
had been
on
dead
the
these
defense.
7 years, 7 years. This comes from Merv from Denver, Colorado, which aren't you from Colorado or something?
I am, but not from Denver. I'm from Boulder, and there's this thing, you know.
Okay, I guess there's a thing. He writes, and by the way, we welcome your questions and comments, most of them, and I'll say like 99%.
I think it's positive. 99.
It probably is. They're very nice. They're very positive. People thank us for our work, and we really, truly do appreciate that. So
but
thank
we
you.
Need to... We need to address the grumpies.
Yeah, of course. And so Merv writes from Denver, Don, you never let me down when you begin talking about topics other than a well-diversified portfolio. I came to Talking Real Money because of an advertisement I heard on the Clark Howard Show. Clark has a regular segment he called Clark Stinks.
Yes.
I think you may want to consider something similar. Maybe call
it. Wait, hold on. Don Stinks.
Nope,
there we go.
Nope. Don's Duds.
Oh, Don's Duds.
Yeah. Some.
Wait. Which,
Don's you don't Duds. Dress very nicely, so I don't know if they can be Don's Duds or not. But he says some recent comments you made might make for good content for such a segment.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Okay, number one.
Go ahead, let loose. Do it.
Number one. Here you go, man. We're going to get this out of the way, and the rest of the holidays are going to be bright and beautiful.
No, they're not. But go ahead.
Sunshine. CBDC. Is that Canadian television station you're picking on or something? He said, you recently stated the major concern folks have with CBDCs are their fear of exposing something they're trying to hide.
Central bank digital currencies. And I don't think that...
Let me finish the comment, then you can say.
Okay.
He says, sorry to tell you, but this is a swing and a miss. If you do a little research, you would find there are much more significant concerns with CBDCs.
CBDCs.
Okay. All right. I think there may be a smidgen of confusion. Because when I say the only use is for hiding from the government, a central bank digital currency would not accomplish that.
Not really.
Because it's created by the government. What I was talking about, and I think maybe Merv misheard, was cryptocurrencies, which are related to central bank digital currencies, but are unregulated and untrackable by the government, or at least difficult to track by the government. And I'm not the only one. Jamie Dimon has said that they are basically...
Know something about the banking system,
I guess. Something about it. Yeah. Basically, they're only used for nefarious purposes. Paul Krugman said the same thing. Uh-huh. You know, it's not just me saying this, Merv. I know your opinion, by the way, Merv, everything you say is your opinion. Mine is my opinion. They're opinions, sir. Go ahead.
All right. And I've never known a Merv. I've known Marv.
Merv Griffin, the only Merv one Griffin. I can think of.
Okay, fair enough. All right, number two. This is rather lengthy, by the way. So
no, I don't care. We've got time.
He's getting his Grinch-like characteristics out of the way early in the holiday season. Number two, bonds. Yeah. This is Merv's note now. He says, you've been pushing that bonds are a sound investment. Even those folks in power to do have been consistently telling us they're going to make numerous interest rate hikes. Seems like borderline malpractice, considering even Helen Keller could see what was going to happen to bond funds. It wasn't like it was Jim Cramer telling us rates were going to go up.
Is that it? Can I speak
now? Are you done? That's what you're supposed to say.
All right. Here's the thing. Okay. One, the bond decline that we saw in 2022 was unpredicted. The extent of inflation, nobody predicted that we would have near double-digit inflation. Remember anybody predicting that in 2021?
No, I do not remember anyone predicting that.
Do you remember anyone in 2021 saying that rates are going to skyrocket in 2022?
Nope.
So what we've been saying all along is that you just buy the market. Now, when we suggest bonds, we don't suggest individual bonds, do we?
No, we're using bond funds or bond mutual funds or bond exchange traded funds.
It's so interesting. So interesting to see what has happened to the short intermediate bond funds that we have suggested. We never have suggested long-term bond funds.
Nope.
Never, ever. What's happened to those is even though the value has declined, they've done exactly what we said they were going to do, and the yield would rise as the short-term paper was replaced with longer-term, higher-yielding paper. That's the way bond funds work. We don't try ever to predict the market. And by the way, Helen Keller never predicted the market. Nobody can predict the market. Nobody. I don't care how smart they are. Nobody can. And when the Federal Reserve says, hey, we're going to raise rates by half a point, they say it weeks or months in advance. Why do they do that?
Because they want to ameliorate some of the fallout. Yeah, no question. Okay, but let's go back. Let's assume that at the beginning of 2022, you knew that the aggregate bond index was going to go down, I don't know, what, 12% so far this year?
12%, okay.
What would you do? Would you take all of your money then and move it to stocks? Would you take all of your money and move it to cash?
Oh, no. Here's what I would do. No, I know exactly what I would do if I was one of these people who actually believed this garbage, like some. I don't know necessarily that it's Merv, but apparently he does. I would have, if I'd known for sure, Like January 1, everybody said, I found a little secret thing in a box that I opened it up and it said, oh, here, this is done in the future. And interest rates are going to go way up and bond prices. I would have gone to cash. And then I would have waited
until
the second box from the future.
Okay.
From Future Dawn was delivered to me, telling me when to get back in.
That's what I was trying to get at. In other words, even if you knew at the beginning of the year, this is going to happen in 2022.
So you got out. You were right once. Yep.
Are you buying now?
Right. Interest rates are up.
Right. I mean, now are you going to,
see, some people say, well, I wouldn't buy now because we know the Fed's going to raise rates again. Everybody knows that. So it's built into the price.
That's the part people forget. And again, I still believe that, Merv, I'm going to disagree with you. I still think bonds, the right bonds, are a sound investment. So I'm going to differ with you. You're saying they're not.
I'm just going to say this flat out. Merv, you're wrong again.
Yeah, they are a sound investment.
You're wrong about crypto. You're wrong about bonds and predicting the future. So far, you're 0-2. Go ahead. What else?
And about bonds or any security. Any security.
Yeah.
Save for the next one we're going to talk about. But there are going to be periods of time when they go down.
So he's a whopping 0-2.
Yeah, okay. So number three says blockchain. Until your 12/5 podcast, you stated you felt blockchain technology was valuable, but not Bitcoin.
Can I interject there? I said might be valuable.
You're not very good at this. Okay. He says now Maersk, I think that's the shipping company, right?
Yes.
That's the big containers. Mm-hmm. I stayed in one of those containers in Qatar. Lovely. Really like the banana smell.
You did
smell
not.
Inside.
You were in a hotel.
Now Maersk has decided. Oh, by the way, as an aside.
Oh, you're not very good at this either.
No, this is really funny. Yeah, I talked to a woman in, I forget. Anyway, podcast listener becoming a client, and she told me that when you started talking about the airplane museum, that they were going to add Seattle to their travel thing and put the airplane museum.
No.
They're going to come by.
Come by the house. Let me give you the address. It's down the road from the Maltby Cafe.
That's true.
Yeah.
You get to the Maltby Cafe, you made it 99%. Anyway, she was going to come by.
That's hysterical.
Yeah, so she has since figured it out. So thank God. Now Maersk has decided not to use it. So now you see no value in it. Probably should consider doing more independent thinking. I know you don't do much of that.
No, not me. I don't independently think at all.
Exactly.
No, I generally just follow the crowd. Yes, I do what everyone else Maersk does. I'm just a joiner.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, no, I was speaking from an article that I read in which it was stated that multiple entities, including the Australian government, had given up plans to use blockchain because, well, it has problems.
Yeah.
Blockchain has problems. And there has not. I probably read 3 or 4 pieces a day, many of them from the crypto industry itself on blockchain and cryptocurrencies. Did you know that just since the big FTX debacle, that 1,000 cryptocurrencies have stopped trading, just completely, just stopped trading?
Out of how many?
5,000.
Oh, wow.
So 20%. About 20% of That's cryptocurrencies yeah. have just kind of vanished.
Yeah, okay.
Merv, why did that happen? Was there a problem with some cryptocurrencies maybe not being viable?
And I will say, to your defense, you have always been an independent thinker. Number two, you've always been, I think, very honest about blockchain and about his fourth item. Lengthy email. Merv apparently either has a lot of time in his hands or he's really got to get it off his chest. I don't know which.
Go ahead.
He says, Bitcoin, in your most recent podcast, you stated your objection to Bitcoin and cited that Paul Krugman didn't like it. Again, you need to do a little more independent thinking and stop cherry picking comments by individuals that support whatever idea you're trying to sell. Isn't Paul Krugman the same guy that was a paid consultant on the Enron advisory board and wrote a Fortune magazine about how wonderful Enron was just before it collapsed? Probably not the kind of guy you want to turn over all your critical thinking to.
Excuse me for interrupting the pre-recorded show with a pre-recorded drop-in comment, but this is a pre-recorded drop-in comment after Tom and I recorded that episode. The reason for this drop-in comment is because the correspondent is saying, well, why don't you give some other people's opinions? Okay. I just didn't have them at the time we recorded the show. So let's look at, Warren Buffett. Pretty good investor, wouldn't you say? Warren Buffett said he wouldn't buy all of the Bitcoin in the world for $25 if you offered it to him. His buddy Charlie Munger, who's pretty bright, he referred to crypto tokens as partly fraud and partly delusion. Oh, wait, there's more. If you don't want to believe Charlie and you don't want to believe Warren Buffett, well, let's go to... Oh, by the way, Warren Buffett also called Bitcoin rat poison squared. Here's a professor of applied economics, very well known, John Hopkins professor by the name of Steve Hanke. And he says, quote, a lot of people in the crypto ecosystem claim that cryptos are an alternative to fiat money. Name one crypto that isn't fiat money. It's ridiculous. Cryptos are fiat on steroids. So they're no better than the other currencies that they are supposed to replace. He also went on to say that the crypto people, quote, want to eliminate the banks. And the best way to do that is to have a bank regulated one way and digital banks regulated in another way. And to those who say that Bitcoin will one day replace the U.S. dollar, well, he said that Bitcoin will eventually death spiral to $0, its true intrinsic value. Wait, there's more. How about Dr. Doom, Nouriel Roubini? Well, he's a contrarian if there ever was one. Just November, yeah, just a month ago, he branded Bitcoin a pseudo-asset. He said that speculators really, are feeding the bubble. Then he also said, people say that Bitcoin is a store of value against tail risk, but in February and March last year, when U.S. stocks went down, say, 35%, wasn't that much, but Bitcoin was not a hedge. It went down by 50%. He also says that no one knows the value of Bitcoin. Well, that's because it's probably zero. How about Peter Schiff? Wants to disinherit his son for buying Bitcoin. At the end of the day, when you peel the onion and get to what's really there, there's nothing there, Schiff said. How about Brazilian computer scientist Jorge Stolfi, who said that Bitcoin fulfills all the requirements of a Ponzi scheme? People invest in it because they expect profit. There is no external source of revenue. Money paid out comes entirely from new money. And the operators take a pretty substantial chunk, Sam Bankman-Fried. So there we have several experts, several people who kind of know what they're doing, all of whom say that Bitcoin is basically a scam. Not often do I go that far. I do, and I don't regret it. Bitcoin, all of these, this is all fraud. This is just fraud. You're all going to lose. You're going to lose. I'm sorry. You're going to lose. And now back to our regularly scheduled program.
Instead of citing some so-called authorities to support your case for or against Bitcoin, why not use a little something more like objective? Compare the performance of Bitcoin to a... Okay, wait. Compare the performance of Bitcoin to a well-diversified stock bond portfolio over the last 3, 5, and 10 years. By the way, Bitcoin would have outperformed all of them. I bet even over the 10.
No, I doubt it.
Yeah, I think it would.
Let's look. Let's see.
And by the way, Merv, this is a basic misunderstanding you have. Bitcoin is one asset that makes, how much is Bitcoin worth in total? A few $1 trillion?
I don't know. I'm going to find out.
Yeah, not very many. So to compare that to a diversified portfolio is not a comparison. You cannot make that. That is completely misleading. The risk you are taking being in one single asset like that is huge. And as people have learned, just being in cryptocurrency has been a massive, where Don just said 20% of the cryptocurrencies are no longer trading or no longer able to get your money.
All right, let's look at the ProShares Bitcoin Strategies Fund. I don't know how.
BITO. 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 Yeah.
BITO. Oh, they don't have that long. Oh, they only have
What about BTC?
They only have a 1-year track record. Oh. BTC.
And while you're doing that, I'm going to stick up a little bit for Paul Krugman. Yes, Paul wrote some kind words about Enron.
But so did a lot of people.
They were picked the most innovative. I was getting to that. The most innovative company in the country, like 2 out of the 3 years before they went goodbye. Number two, Mr. Krugman, and you can pick on him all you like. I think he still does have a piece of hardware from one of the Nordic countries. What's
it's
that
a nice
called?
Metal.
It's that's right. Nobel Prize. Yeah. So we're not the only one who, and I do not follow his work on a daily basis. I know he's somewhat political in nature as well. Have had the opportunity, by the way, to interview him on television. But you got to. Do we just do everything depending on what Paul says? No, but he has an opinion that's probably worth looking at due to his rather lengthy involvement and or criticisms of the U.S. economy. So I think it's worth considering.
Yeah, I can't find the 3, 5, and 10. I probably could if I looked, but Bitcoin, its mean average or its mean return is 93% per year. So that's pretty hefty.
Yeah, as I said,
that's really good.
Have a hard time finding any other asset that's done better.
But its worst year was a loss of 73%. And its best year was a gain of 303%. That tells you a lot. You see, you cannot compare that to a portfolio of stocks because that kind of volatility is off the stock charts. You just don't see any market anywhere that is volatile to that extent. There is no currency that has a comparable volatility.
Trying to think of anything that has that kind of volatility.
Nothing has that kind of volatility, which tells you it's pure gambling.
And you can't compare that again to a diversified stock bond portfolio. It's not a reasonable comparison.
The difference is when you own a portfolio of stocks and bonds, you own an actual asset. Something that is tangible, that you can touch. You can actually touch your asset. You can walk in to an Apple store and go, oh, I'm touching my asset. Look at that. It's a lovely. Look at
Unlike
that
table. The bricks and mortar bank where you can't go see your money. Anyway, that's
good luck finding a place where you can see your Bitcoin.
That's a good point. Merv, I do have some good news for Merv.
Yes.
While you were looking
into Did he into win something?
Nope. While you were looking into the Bitcoin situation, I made a phone call.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Wow, it was a fast call.
And no one so far has signed up to play the Grinch at the local mall, and he can have the job. They said, yep, you're in.
Only if he plays the Crypto Grinch.
Crypto Grinch. We're going to take all your money, and you're never going to see it again. But, you know, it was fun while it lasted.
And again, here's my opinion. You ready? Here's an opinion.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, here is my opinion based on my consumption of probably several hundred lengthy articles from various sources. I've read both the pros and the cons, and based on my wee little brain, I am of the opinion that Bitcoin will not survive. Not survive.
And with that, the dog agrees, apparently.
The dog is apparently right there. It says, yep, you're totally right.
It's been that day, I tell you that much right now. I love it. The dog is on board. I'm on board, Don. We're fully supportive. So, Merv, I'd say something else, but I try to be nice on the
dog. Dog's still barking.
Dog's still very happy about your decision.
The doorbell rang.
Ah.
You see? Doorbell,
yeah.
And the only voice, the only sound in this house that can penetrate the semi-soundproof walls of my studio is that of the dog.
I was wondering.
And one of Debbie's friends. And I'm not going to name names, but
I wouldn't.
One of her friends has a voice that penetrates walls. So do we have anything else we want to talk about?
You want another question, or was that enough for one? Maybe that's just enough for one show.
I think so. It's a 21-minute show, and that was quite the question.
Oh, okay, good. Then we've
so we're
going to
call
it
quits.
Here.
Anything you'd like to share with anyone?
Here's another thing I would like to share, because I've talked to a lot of you in the last 10 days. The end of the year is here. Many people look at their financial situation and say it's a time to fix that. Oftentimes, by the way, over the last week of the year, people have time because there's not that much going on after Christmas, et cetera, et cetera. So ask for our help. We're here. We'd love to talk to you. Just had to talk to a gentleman today who's talked to us before, and he wants us to look at his parents' portfolio. I said, we'll be glad to review that for you. So yeah, take advantage of that. You simply go to talkingrealmoney.com and
click on Meet an Advisor.
Exactly. So
Meet an Advisor.
Or you can call us. You can call me
800-386-3004.
Thank you. Yeah,
so Fund 004.
Yeah,
exactly. Let's see. Anything else we should add? I don't.
You know, the only other thing we should add, you know what we have almost 200 people already signed up for?
Retire Meet?
Oh, it's close to 200.
See, it's easy to guess because we've got nothing else going on that anyone needs to sign up for.
No, there's the holiday lunch, but nobody's signing up for that because everybody got sick from the holiday party. They're all still home working
with COVID.
Yeah, they all got COVID from the holiday party. So that's off.
Everybody I know in the last couple of weeks has gotten COVID. Yeah. Yours truly included.
Yeah, not fun. Anyway, yeah, take advantage of that. Retire Meet. Yes, you can sign up for it now. It is Saturday, February 25th. Either join us in Bellevue. You got to pay something for that because it comes with food, or virtually online, which has been way more popular already. And it's going to be terrific. Myself, Don, a lot of other folks.
Can we explain why, unlike, you know, sometimes you get those things in the mail and it says, come to our meeting and get a free dinner at Ruth's Chris or Fleming's or wherever it is, right? Free dinner. Why don't we give people a free lunch?
We don't make enough money. That's why. And we don't charge enough money. That's why. And Retire Meet, you walk out the door, you get actual stuff that helps you, and you don't really pay for it. So
you don't just get lied to about indexed annuities, because I guarantee you that's what most of these things are about. They're about indexed annuities. And why do they push them so hard? Because it makes the person selling it richer and you poorer.
Over and over, over and over again.
Let's get out of here.
Happy holidays. Feeling better? I got all that off my chest.
I feel better now getting that whole letter behind me. Happy holidays, Merv, and all of you. And I'm sure we'll hear from Merv again, because he's never one to take this stuff laying down or lying down. Lying down. I'm Don. That's Tom. We talk real money.
We hope you realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for informational, educational, and hopefully enjoyable purposes only. Providing personalized financial planning or investing advice takes time, so please consult with a really good fee-only fiduciary investment, tax, or legal advisor. We know a good one. Investing must always involve risk. In other words, you can and probably will lose money at times. Also, as much as you want it, no one can accurately and consistently predict the future. So past performance doesn't tell you a darn thing about what the future will bring. Unlike many other programs that say something similar, Talking Real Money is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities. Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Appella Capital, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Thanks for listening, and please visit TalkingRealMoney.com for more information and disclosures. Are we done now?